you ever want to contact me, the best way is via email, and there's my email address there at the bottom. It's very simple, just drhodel@ucanr.edu. But ficus, I'm going to start with the biology. It's a huge genus. In fact, it probably has as many species and as much diversity as many other families of flowering plants. The most species are in Asia and Australia, especially Borneo and New Guinea seem to be centers of speciation. The Americas have about 120 species, Africa 105, and the genus is divided into six subgenera, each which has many sections and subsections. It's mostly tropical, mostly found between 35 degrees north and south, but there are a few species that reach up to 40 degrees north and which are amazingly hardy. Ficus carica is one, the edible fig, but there are probably four or five other species of ficus that can tolerate quite a bit of frost. Also, they grow from sea level up to about 1,500 meters, a few reaching 3,200 meters on the island of Borneo and in the Andes in South America, and those species that do that are amazingly cold tolerant also. Generally, the genus is, we can say that they're diverse species in diverse habitats. They're mostly trees, but they're also shrubs and vines. And the tree ones especially, there's a group of them that has adventitious roots, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. Mostly moist and wet forests, that's where most of the species are, but some occur in dry forests or even deserts, especially in Australia, Africa, and Mexico. And one of our speakers today, Seth, is going to talk about some of these dry land species in Mexico that would be great landscape subjects. So I give you an example of a landscape fig. This is Ficus macrophylla in Spring Valley in California. Not the kind of tree you would typically have in the average front yard of a house. Continuing with biology, there's a group of these trees, the ones that produce adventitious roots prolifically. These are called hemiepiphytes. They start as a seed-deposited epiphyte on a host tree. They develop an extensive aerial root system. The roots envelop the host trunk, and they go down to, once they reach the ground, the growth accelerates. And they likely kill their host from soil nutrient competition and overshadowing and encroachment on the host tree. And these are called strangler figs or banyans. And there's a great many species of these, and when you see them in a tropical country, they're spectacular. I have a couple of pictures of them. So here you see on the left, this is Ficus microcarpa enveloping the trunk of a mango tree here in Hawaii. And over on the right, you can see the mango tree with all these roots going down the branches and the trunk. Eventually, it's going to take over that tree, and the mango will die. Ficus prolixa, another of the strangler figs. You can see my wife, Marianne, standing at the base of it there. This is in the Marquesas Islands in French Polynesia. And one of the most famous ficus here in Hawaii is the bengalensis, the banyan tree in Lahaina, Maui. It covers over 4,200 square meters. But that's really nothing, actually, because there's trees in India and I think in Pakistan of the same species that cover four or five times this amount. And as the branches grow out, they produce these aerial roots, which become woody, and they're pillar roots. And then the branch grows even more and produces another one, and eventually it covers acres of land. The most unusual part about ficus, though, to me, is the pollination biology. And when we're looking at these figs, which we often refer to as fruits, but actually aren't botanically fruits, they're actually an inflorescence. They're an urceolate receptacle, which is called a syconium or a fig, and it has an orifice at the distal end. And if you can imagine, say, a composite inflorescence, like in a sunflower, and imagine it rolled up like this completely with a little orifice at the top, That's what a fig is, really. It's a collection of flowers, aggregate of flowers. They often occur in the leaf axils or on specialized stems from the trunk or main branches. The pollination is done by specialized wasps that co-evolve with ficus. To a large extent, the species of wasps that is responsible for pollinating the flowers inside a fig does only that species of fig. There are some exceptions, of course, to that notion. So there are some examples of figs. That's Ficus reticulata in the left, Ficus drupacea in the upper right, a Ficus sycamoris, where they're coming out on the branches on the left, and the lower right is Ficus semicordata, where the figs appear on these long whip-like extensions that come out of the trunk, maybe for 3 or 4 meters, and eventually those will root in the ground and produce new plants also. So the pollination biology is incredible, and here's what happens. A pollen-carrying female wasp is attracted to a fig. It enters through that distal opening in the fig, which is called an ostiole, and the ostiole has these series of overlapping bracts, and the female pollen-carrying wasp fights its way through, and in the process, most of its wings are broken off. But remember, it's evolved with that species of fig, so it's able to make it through where other species of wasp couldn't make it through because they have different sized wings and the bracts are different on other species. So this female oviposits in the flowers inside the fig and during the process removes pollen that she carried in and deposits on the stigmas. And then the female dies. The eggs hatch, the larvae develop, and the males and females copulate inside the fig. The females move around and collect pollen. The males make a hole through the fig wall. Aren't we really nice guys, the males? We do this all for the female. And the female escapes through this exit hole in the fig wall, carrying the pollen to go on to the next, find another fig to complete the process. The male dies inside the fig, and the fig ripens. So here you see a Ficus sycamoris fruit, and up at the top you can see the So in terms of propagation, seeds, if available, but we'll have Dr. Crowley talking about propagation right after me. And because in order to get seeds, you have to have the pollinating wasp. And when you send seeds to another country and the trees grow up, the pollinating wasp usually isn't going with them. So in Hawaii, they actually introduced 4 or 5 wasps for 4 or 5 species of figs back in the 1920s and 30s because they were reforesting the Hawaiian hillsides with figs and they wanted to be able to them to produce seeds and reforest. Cuttings often root well, especially with bottom heat and overhead intermittent mist. And then there's air layering or marcotting for species with difficult to root cuttings and tissue culture, which is done a lot with Ficus elastica and its various horticultural selections. In terms of selection of ficus in the landscape, many of the species are tough and adaptable, and they're ideal for a wide variety of landscape situations. Some are heat, arid, or even salt tolerant. And many are drought tolerant, but you can see they can fill a lot of roles in the landscape, from shade trees, hedges, windbreaks, backgrounds, foundation plantings, ground covers, creepers for fences and walls, potted plants for the interior, and even topiary and bonsai. Here's a Ficus rubiginosa, rusty leaf fig in Palos Verdes Estates, which is near Los Angeles. Probably averages about 30 centimeters of rain a year. And this is in an unirrigated landscape, and the tree looks great. Ficus pumila, left and upper right, covering a building and a wall. And Ficus tikua as a ground cover here on Oahu in Honolulu. The most common species that we find are Ficus benjamina, Ficus carica. We often think of that as a food a ficus, not as an ornamental plant, but it has beautiful, large, variously lobed leaves. It can be grown as a single tree. It can be grown espaliered. And in addition to the wonderful figs, it's a nice ornamental plant. And the less common species are on the right. So here's some examples, horticultural selections of Ficus elastica. Multitude of them, and many of these are tissue cultured. In terms of landscape management, they can be vigorous growers, so consider eventual size. And that's been the problem in Southern California, is that we've planted several ficus species, not taking into consideration their ultimate size and the damage they can do to the landscape. Common landscape species in California and Hawaii typically are tolerant of a lot of pruning that many of us would consider excessive. Strong invasive root systems can pose problems in the landscape with some species of ficus. Copious fig production and short but mass leaf drop can create temporary litter problems. And recent pests and disease issues can be serious. So here's some typical pruning practices of Ficus microcarpa in Southern California. A Ficus macrophylla, which gets a trunk 6 or 7 feet in diameter, 2 or 3 meters in diameter, and probably in a 1.8 meter parkway. And Ficus microcarpa lifting up a sidewalk. That was put in a 60 centimeter cutout when it was planted. And now the trunk itself is probably nearly a meter in diameter. In terms of pests, these are all pictures from Ficus microcarpa in Southern California. Microcarpa is a magnet for insect pests. And there are six different pests. You have the thrips in the upper left. We have the leaf gall, middle left. The new pest, Ficus leaf-rolling psyllid, lower left. Eye spot midge, upper right. Two kinds of white fly there on that leaf. And the Ficus psyllid, lower right. You can often find all these pests on the same tree in the landscape in California. So it's a challenge growing these, Ficus, sometimes. But microcarpa is a tough species, and it's amazing the load, the infestation it can sustain and still provide the expected amenities and benefits in the landscape. So are there any questions? I think we have a few minutes left. Checking my time here. We have about 1 minute. Any questions so far about the introduction to ficus biology? Yes, Dr. Criley. Yes, I do. Yeah, we will hear some about some from Seth, and I think this Ficus tikua is a really nice ground cover. Ficus McClellandi is a beautiful plant that I think deserves to be in the landscape more often, in Hawaii and in Southern California.
And it is here at the hotel.